Please open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 1, and if you are just joining us, we'd like to welcome you to our Adult Sunday School, our series on the life of Christ today, and we are going to be taking up the issue of leprosy this morning, and we're going to see that Jesus has authority over leprosy. If you have a bulletin, the outline is actually on the back. If you would direct your attention to the back of the bulletin, our title to the message today is Jesus' Authority Over Leprosy. We have a very simple outline. It looks like our outline from the nobleman's message. He, I like he. Point number one, the leper, came to him. Point number two, Jesus, touched him. Point number three, Jesus, he healed him. And then for point number four, we're going to go to Luke where Jesus heals 10 lepers. And one of the 10, he returned to him. That is our outline. That's where we're going. You could take notes if you want. Do whatever you want. The outline is on the back of the bulletin. You know, leprosy has affected humanity for over 4,000 years. It's one of the oldest diseases known to man. It was well recognized in civilizations like India and China and Egypt. As a matter of fact, in 1995, the World Health Organization estimated that between 2 and 3 million people have been permanently disabled. They were cured. Those who had been permanently disabled were cured. That's a huge step. In the past 20 years, over 15 million people around the world have been cured or helped with leprosy. And yet, leper colonies still persist around the world. For example, in India today, there's over 1,000 leper colonies. And leprosy is still breaking out in countries like Nepal, Romania, Somalia, and some others. What about the United States? Ha ha! In 2009, the last year for which we have data, 213 new cases of leprosy broke out, even in our country. But not to worry too much. The doctors say that about 95% of the population is naturally immune to leprosy, or Hansen's disease, as it's called today. I think you probably all know this, but back in the day, we used to think it was rotting flesh. But really, what it is, it's a problem in the nervous system where we lose feeling in our extremities, our ears, eyes, and nose. And the problem comes from, you know, if I don't have feeling in my hand and I grab a hot pan off the stove, I can't feel it. I won't go, ow! And so I'll burn my hand. Or if I wash my hands under scalding water, if I have a hammer and I whack my hand, I don't feel it. And this is a problem. This is what causes the severe injuring of leprosy. And that's what it really is. And so it's a numbness in our extremities. And in some third world countries, this is gross, but mice and rats actually eat some of the extremities while the dear person is sleeping, and they can't feel it. And so there's no way to shush them away. Now, Dr. Luke, we're in Mark, but our passage actually appears in all three of the synoptics. But Dr. Luke, who's trained as a doctor, he said something about this man. He said he was a leper who had a serious skin disease. Now notice, all over him. And so our character today, his disease has gone on. It's taken over his entire body. From head to toe, he's got rotting flesh from injuring himself and things like that. He was totally disfigured. Now, to make matters worse, the religious leaders in this day, who didn't know some of the medical things, made it even worse. If you were a leper during this time in the Jewish society, you had to wear rags as clothes. you couldn't comb your hair. You had to keep your hair unkempt, and it was just a humiliating experience. When they would get near to people, or people would get near to them, guess what they had to do? Unclean, unclean, don't come any closer. How would you like to do that? You know, let's say you're breaking out with whatever you got. Oh, sorry, unclean, I'm Kevin. It's humiliating. And that's what they made him do in this society. It was actually illegal in their culture to greet a leper. Hey, brother, good morning, I'll be praying for you. I know you're suffering. Illegal. They had to remain 100 cubits away on a not a windy day, and 400 cubits they had to stay away if it was windy. Because if you got any closer, then you were considered ceremonially unclean. And so they were ostracized out of their community. If they even stuck their head under the roof of a house, the rabbi said, well, the whole house now has to be cleaned. It's unclean. Kind of a bad thing. So really, the lepers in this day and age were considered like dead people. In the Jewish society, if you touched a dead person, you were ceremonially unclean. Well, that's how the lepers felt in these days. The reason why, it's most likely, when you study the Old Testament, there's really only a handful of people that caught leprosy. Remember who they were? Who was the first one? Miriam. And what was the man's name who was the servant of Elijah? Gehazi, I don't know if that's the right pronunciation. Who else had leprosy in the Old Testament? Come on. Who else? Naaman. There was one more. He was a king. King Uzziah, right? As these people study the Old Testament and they saw the three people in Israel that got leprosy, all three of them got it because of a judgment against their sin. And so they thought that leprosy, by the time of Jesus, if you got leprosy, oh, you've committed some great sin. You're a great sinner. And so they were greatly feared, and they were cut off from society. And it was humiliating. They were isolated. And they were forced to be beggars. Who's going to hire them? Hey, I'm a leper. Here's my resume. Ah! You know? Nobody. They had to live in groups, and people had to support them. Thus, they were beggars. Let's read our passage today. Again, I invite you to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 40. Then a man with a serious skin disease came to him and on his knees begged him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Please note the next phrase. Moved with what? Compassion. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. I am willing, he told him. Be made clean. Immediately the disease left him, and he was healed. Then he sternly warned him and sent him away at once, telling him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses prescribed for your cleansing. Notice this phrase, we'll talk about this, as a testimony to them, to the priest. Yet he went out and began to proclaim it widely and to spread the news, with the result that Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but he was out in deserted places, and they would come to him from everywhere. Would you join me in prayer as we commit our time to the Lord this morning? Lord, we come now to your word. Lord, we know that when the Bible speaks, you speak. Lord, we thank you that you are a compassionate God. You are a hands-on God. Lord, open our hearts to what you have for us today in your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember some weeks back, we went through the seven sign miracles of John. And I was assigned the long-distance healing of the nobleman's son. Point number one in your outline is the same point that I had in that message. And the point actually comes from the text. I love this. Speaking of the nobleman and speaking of our leper today, you know what it says? He came to him. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told you in point number one back then. This is brilliant. This is wise. The best thing that we can do in our times of trouble is go to him. We're going to study the story of a man who went to him, and just like the nobleman's son, this is a day that he will never forget. In a moment, his life is changed. When we go to Jesus, we should expect things to change. And so point number one is he came to him. He'll never regret it. His life was changed forever. And we want to remember that the miracles also had a purpose. Jesus didn't just go around arbitrarily doing miracles. They were to confirm, hey Israel, this is the real deal. This is your promised Messiah. And his miracles, think about it. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He walked on water. And many more. That was Jesus' calling card. Hey, I'm here. I'm the Messiah. They confirmed his credentials. That's what he was doing. He was saying, by his works, I am who I say I am. Look what I can do. And he was a polarizing figure. Some said, wow, he is son of David. Others said, no. He does his miracles by the power of Beelzebub. Now, healing a leper was a really good place to start. Right here in the beginning of Mark. You know why? There's only one record in all the Old Testament of anybody ever being healed of leprosy, and it was Moses' sister, right? Remember when they were grumbling, her and Aaron? Boom! God struck her with leprosy, and then she was later healed. Now, it must have been common enough in Israel because there's all kinds... If you read the book of Leviticus, you'll get to a portion where there's all kinds of things that a leper or a person with skin disease had to do once the priest announced him clean. And we don't have time to look at that. If you ever want to study that, that's back in Leviticus. This man is desperate. Dr. Luke says he's at an extreme stage. He had a serious skin disease, and it covered his body from head to toe. He was considered physically unclean, spiritually unclean, and socially unclean. He's desperate. He's got nothing to lose. So he's going to break with the rules. He's going to come near to Jesus. Got nothing to lose, right? He's going to die. Leprosy was kind of the AIDS of our day. We don't want to get it. We don't want to touch it. We want to make sure needles and cleanliness and all that. They didn't want it. So he approaches Jesus in violation of the rules. He wasn't even supposed to greet him, much less get near him. But he comes to Jesus. He's beyond fear and shame. He's got nothing to lose. And he realizes his situation is permanent unless God intervenes. And did you notice what it says? He says, I know you can heal me if you're willing. Now, he knew he could do it. What he didn't know is if he was willing. And of course, what we're going to find out is our God is not a reluctant God. Not only in healing of a leper, but in many other areas. So he risks the danger to himself. He risks the punishment. He comes to Jesus. You know, back then they thought it was very contagious. I want to stay out, and if the wind was blowing, my goodness, 400 cubits back. And so he knows that Jesus is able. What he doesn't know is if he is willing. And that brings us to point number two, Mark 1:41. Let's read that again. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Can you imagine? There must have been gasps in the crowd. as the Jews looked on, as this rabbi touched this unclean man. But I like the first phrase. And our point is, he touched him. You see that phrase, moved with compassion? May I say to us this morning, dear brothers and sisters, let us never read that phrase without a sense of praise and gratitude. Our Savior was moved with compassion. As a matter of fact, the great scholar B.B. Warfield said, if you study the four Gospels, the main word that describes Jesus is the word compassion. Do a word study. Type in compassion. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he had compassion for them. When Jesus saw the blind man, he had compassion. You know what? When you love people, you will have compassion for them. You've heard me say this before. We must love what Jesus loved. He looks at this man. Now, in human terms, he must have been repulsive. Luke says, covered head to toe. Jesus looks at him. Now, frankly, I would have healed him first and then touched him. Jesus reaches out. Actually, somebody that knows the original language says he reached out and grabbed him. Aren't you glad we have a hands-on Savior? Pardon the pun. He reaches out and he touches this leper. And Jesus not only noticed, but if you study the Gospels, he has compassion on the multitudes, on the blind, on the outcast woman, the poor people, the children, the multitudes. Beloved, we have a God who is compassionate. This man, this leper that's going to be clean, felt the touch of the Master. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Now, you know how it is. I love it when my wife reaches over, takes my hand, watching a movie or wherever, or she, you know, scratches my back. Don't you love that? We're created for that. Jesus looks at this man and he realizes here's a guy who has probably not felt human touch in decades. And what does the Savior do? He reaches out and he touches this man. I would imagine that felt pretty good. We're not made to go without human touch. That's why in the New Testament they greeted people with a holy kiss. Down in South America, boom, a kiss on the one cheek, then we go over for the next cheek, and then a hearty hug. We're made for human touch. And here's a guy who probably wasn't touched, and Jesus knows it. What a gracious God. Isn't that amazing? It reminds me of the words in Isaiah 53. Listen to this. We talked about this in the Lord's Supper, the suffering servant, the Lord Jesus, was a man of suffering, now listen, who knew what sickness was. He himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pain. Jesus could look at this leper and empathize with him. He knew what it was like. And he reaches out and he touches him. Now, imagine the reaction of the crowd. If he was a rabbi, he would know who he's touching. What is he doing? He's defiled. Jesus reaches out and he touches him, but Jesus remains undefiled. The Pharisees said that if a person came within 6 feet of a leper, they were defiled. And on a windy day, even closer. But note, by touching him, Jesus reveals his attitude toward the rabbi's ceremonial law. No. This man needs touch. This man needs human touch. He needs help. By touching the leper, he himself would be made ceremonial and clean in their eyes. But here's the kicker. Jesus puts love and compassion above ceremonial law. We see this all through the Gospels. The Pharisees would wait for Jesus to come to the synagogue and they'd watch and watch. And then when he had compassion on somebody and he healed them, got him! This man isn't from God. He breaks the Sabbath. And in so many words, Jesus says, are you kidding me? I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to help man. In other words, they would want the little I dotted of their little rules rather than helping a man. And Jesus comes along and he rebukes them because of that. And not only did, this is the real kicker, not only did Jesus remain ceremonial clean when he touched the leper, here's the big part, the leper became clean. In a moment, did you read the text? It says, immediately. I love this. What did the leper say? If you are willing, I know you're able. You know what Jesus says? I am willing. Beloved, listen to me. We do not have a reluctant God. He's not sitting up on his throne saying, I hear your prayers, but I'm not in the mood today. No, no, no. We don't serve a reluctant God. I am willing. Be healed. That's the kind of God we have. Whatever you're going through, you have to understand God is not a reluctant God. What does the Bible say? He who for the joy set before him, what? Endured the what? The cross. Now we read, Lord, if it be possible, take this cup from me, but he's not a reluctant God. Can you imagine that? Sometimes we bring baggage into our Christianity. Point number one, he came to him. Point number two, he touched him. Point number three in your outline, he healed him. Look at verse 42. I'm reading 43. With my eyes, it is so hard to find these little numbers. Where are you, number 42? I don't see it. I'm going to start in verse 41. 42's got to be... There it is. Immediately, the disease left him, and he was healed. We cannot miss this. Beloved, the God who we remembered this morning in the breaking of bread has authority over even leprosy. We've seen it in the past miracles, the seven signs in John. Whatever you're struggling with, change your paradigm. Here's a paradigm shifter. The God who we have to do with walks on water, raises the dead, heals the blind, cures the leper, makes stars. Oh yeah, that's right. When you hang your head in your quiet time and you pray to God for whatever is breaking your heart, remember at the other end of the prayer, the God that you are praying to can make a star. And he doesn't need to go to Home Depot to get the material. And he not only makes stars, he makes billions of stars in millions of galaxies. Doesn't that change in my paradigm? I'll tell you what. Notice it wasn't a time delay miracle. Immediately, the leper is healed. Remember when I started, I said, you know what? When you come into contact with Jesus, your life is never the same. This guy's had leprosy, who knows for how long, he's covered, he's in the extreme stages. He meets Jesus and immediately he is cleansed. Head to toe, he healed him. When Jesus, listen to me, when Jesus touches a life, that life is forever changed. We know that, right? Most of us in this room have been touched by the Master's hand. He reached down into the garbage of humanity and pulled us out. And he saved us, just like he cleansed this leper. Aren't you glad that Jesus, and pardon the pun, is a hands-on God? He reached out. He comes alongside. He touches our lives. He identifies himself with us. You know, in all the major religions, their God is back at a distance. And man has to work and work and work. That's not our God. Our God comes to us. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Our God undertakes for us. We don't work for him. He works for us. That's mind-blowing. He comes alongside. I want to suggest to you a little study that you can do. Google, not Google, what do you call it? Look up the word on your Bible program. the word touched, you know what you'll find? Jesus was a hands-on God. Can I give you a few? Do you remember when Peter's mother-in-law was sick? That's right, Peter had a wife, Peter had a mother-in-law. Jesus comes to Peter's house, and lo and behold, the mother-in-law is sick. Listen to the verse. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to serve. You want another one? You remember when the leader's dying daughter was at death's door? The leader goes to Jesus, come, my daughter is dying. Jesus goes. Listen to this verse. Passion, Jesus touched their eyes. They were never the same. Beloved, when Jesus touches your life, either in salvation or in post-salvation events, our lives are never changed. He touched them. Can we just pause here for a second? Does your life this morning need the compassionate, healing touch of the Lord Jesus? Maybe you don't have leprosy, or maybe you're not blind this morning, but I can ask you a question. Are you going through right now what might seem to be an impossible situation? Is your life spinning out of control? Do you feel empty this morning, or jaded, or at wit's end? Or perhaps some temptation, some sin has you in its grip this morning? Perhaps a spirit of bitterness or unforgiveness. We've all gone through this, don't you know? Somebody hurts us or whatever, and we want to forgive them, and we forgive them for a few days, and then boom, that bitterness and that unforgiving spirit comes back from something that happened. Can I give you some very simple advice? Do what the leper did. He went to him. Go to the Savior. He's not a reluctant God. Your problem is not too little for him. He wants to touch your life, whatever it is. What does that song say? Needless pain we bear, all because we do not go to him. Are you struggling this morning? Perhaps you're involved in an interpersonal relationship problem. Perhaps you're struggling physically or spiritually. I know it's very simple, but this is probably the best advice you're ever going to get from this pulpit. Go to Jesus. The nobleman went to Jesus. His life was changed. The leper goes to Jesus. His life is changed. Would you allow me just to pour oil into your weary soul this morning? Would you allow me to speak encouraging words to you? Jesus can calm the storm in your life. Your problem is not too big for him. Are you jaded? You feel empty? Jesus can restore that. I will give you personal testimony. I've been saved for 32 years. The last year of my life, God has taken me, and as we say today, he has rocked my world. If I have time at the end of this message, I will tell you some of the details about that. Marriage? Are you living in a lifeless marriage, you know, kind of going through the motions under the same roof with your spouse? Jesus can heal your marriage. He can bring that prodigal son or daughter home. He can bring healing to your life, our family. Beloved, go to him. Let Jesus touch your life. Perhaps you're here this morning, and if you have never experienced the saving touch of the Lord Jesus in your life, I would like to speak to you briefly right now. You know, leprosy is kind of a good illustration of sin. Sin invades our life. It affects every molecule, every thought, every good work. We are tainted with sin. We belong to a race that has fallen in sin. And just like leprosy, sin will soon bring death, but something worse than physical death. Sin will bring eternal death, which is separation from God in the lake of fire forever. The wages of sin is death. And like the lepers who had to cover themselves with rags, sometimes we think that our good works will get us to heaven. We cover ourselves with our rags. And the Bible says it's about those rags, those good works that we do to merit heaven. God says those are like filthy rags. We can't cover ourselves. They can only cover, they never heal. And we learn something important from leprosy, from this leper this morning. He recognized that he was unclean and he needed Jesus. Beloved, if you have never come to Jesus for eternal life, you have to have the attitude of the leper. You are unclean. You will never heal yourself of sin. We need a Savior. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ, if you have never come to Him for salvation, you have to understand leprosy, the leprosy of sin is going to kill us someday. The leper came to Jesus. We can do the same. This leper was hopeless. No one on the planet, no one in the universe could help him. But he went to the right one. No other being on the planet can help you get to heaven. We must go to him, right? Jesus identified with the leper. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, He, God, now think about this. He, God the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. It's like Jesus walked up to our lives with all this disgusting sin, and he reached out and he touched us. And our disgusting sin went to the one who knew no sin, and his healing and cleansing comes to us. And we get that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Just like the leper was healed immediately, the Bible says when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we go to him for cleansing, boom, immediately, all your sins, all those skeletons we have in our closets, all the sins that nobody knows about, even the sins we're going to commit tomorrow or next year, all are washed away immediately. He came to him. Verse 43, let's move on. Then he sternly warned him and sent him away at once, telling him, "See that you say nothing to anyone. But go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses prescribed for your cleansing as a testimony to them." I believe one reason Jesus didn't want this publicized is that he didn't want to draw unnecessary attention to his healing ministry. But there's something even more important. Did you see? Who did he send him to? He sent him to the priest. And did you catch that little phrase at the end of the verse? As a testimony to them. This was Jesus' calling card back at the temple with the religious leaders. Hey, I'm here. I've been healed of leprosy. All right. No. Who? How many times have people been healed of leprosy in Israel? This was the Messiah sending over his calling card to the priest. Hey, the Messiah is in our midst. Do you know? Remember when we studied the healing of the blind man? Healing blindness was an activity of the Messiah. Guess what? So is healing leprosy. Do you remember when John the Baptist was thrown into prison? He started to doubt and he sent his followers over to Jesus. Remember what he said? Are you the one or do we look for another? The response of Jesus back to John is very important. He said, he didn't say, yeah, go tell him I'm the one. He said, here's what I want you to tell John. The blind see. The lame walk, and guess what else? The lepers are healed. He sent them over to the priest, basically with his calling card. Hey, the Messiah's here. There's a guy walking on water, healing the blind, healing lepers, and the priest should have gone, hold on. Wait a minute. That's got to be the Messiah. And that's why he sent him over to the priest as a testimony to them. If the healed leper shows up at the temple all cleansed, it would force the priest to investigate the evidence that would lead back to the Messiah. But they didn't. Cleansing of the leper was a messianic activity. This leads us to our final point this morning, point number four. What was point number one? He came to him. Point number two, he touched him. Point number three, he healed him. And now I would like to invite you to our final passage. We'll read it quickly in Luke chapter 17. He returned to him. This is another story of leprosy. And we're not going to go through the whole passage. We're going to read it. And I'd like just to make some final comments about our final point. Luke chapter 17, our final point is, he returned to him. This is the story where Jesus doesn't just heal one leper, he heals 10 of them. And he sends these 10 to the priest. Why? We know. We know why he sent them to the priest. One of them returns. That's where we get our title for our last point. He returned to him. 17:11. While traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with serious skin diseases met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now picture, I would have loved to be a fly on the road today. And when they were going, they were healed. Can you imagine they're walking along and all of a sudden, "Guys, wait, guys, look, we're healed." That's what happened. Verse 15. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and, I love this, not with a voice, with a loud voice, gave glory to God, fell face down at his feet, thanking him. Oh, and by the way, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he told him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Point four, he returned to him. 10 lepers are cleansed, right? Only one goes back. And note, by the way, the Samaritan, the foreigner who goes back, is commended not because he had faith to be healed, this is key, but because he came back to give thanks and give glory to God. And not only was he was a leper, he was an unclean Samaritan. You remember the Jews, they don't like the Samaritans. He was doubly unclean. He was a foreigner. But a foreigner with leprosy. Jesus refers to him as a foreigner. But I want you to notice, and this is key. Notice in verse 15 that Jesus meets him in his turning back with fresh blessing. Excuse me. Did you catch that? Back to give glory and thanksgiving to God. Not a one-time act, but as a lifestyle. I'm going to ask you a question. Can you tell we're in our application phase here? If your life was to be characterized this morning as a believer, would you be characterized by the 9 who didn't turn back or by the one who turned back? The greatest thing that a human can do is give glory to God. It is to live a life of worship. I believe that unthankfulness is a sin. This leper turns back and with a loud voice gives glory to God and he gives thanks to God. I believe this is a good example for us. We were the lepers, right? Our sin covered us from head to toe. Jesus came to your life and he touched you and he cleansed you. He died for you. He suffered for us. And our, what does Romans 12 say? Our natural response is to live a life back to God for his glory with an attitude of thankfulness. Now, we have two ways we can do this. We can do it privately in our homes. Or we can do it corporately when we come together as a local church. You know what I believe? Now, Mark spoke this morning about the Lord's Supper, and he addressed the men who do participate in the Lord's Supper. I want to talk to the men who do not participate in the Lord's Supper. I've heard this said, well, I don't have the spiritual gift of speaking in public. Listen, I've been to the baseball game with you people, and I've heard you shout in public in front of people, so I know you can do it. No, seriously. You don't have to agree with me, but I don't believe this applies to thanking God corporately. You can disagree with me, that's okay. We will still be friends. I believe that what happens in the Lord's Supper is really just a continuation that is of what is going on in our personal lives. And so I want to talk to you about that. Are we worshiping God day to day so that when we come to the Lord's Supper, it's just a normal continuation? I want to read you as we close a quote by Jerry Bridges. Jerry Bridges has been one of the men who has helped me develop a worshipful life. Listen to what he says. The vitality and genuineness of corporate worship is to a large degree dependent on the vitality of our individual private worship. If we aren't spending time daily worshiping God, we're not apt to contribute to the corporate experience of worship. If we aren't worshiping God during the week, how can we genuinely participate in it on Sunday morning? We may indeed go through the motions and think we have worshiped, but how can we honor and adore one on Sunday whom we have not taken the time to praise and give thanks during the week? Now, I don't want to imply that if you don't speak on Sunday, you're not worshiping God during the week. That's not my point. But I would like to ask you, what does our daily worship look like? And I'm not talking about reading the daily bread and reading your daily Bible. That's all wonderful and fine, but is there a time when we just get quiet with God and we reflect back to Him, praise and glory and honor? We were called. That is our highest calling. All of the activities that we do here on planet Earth will cease when we go to heaven except that one. We will worship. We will praise. It's like we're in training time now. And what happens in these four walls on Sunday mornings is a pretty good indication of what's going on in our private worlds. I would like to ask you, in the quietness of your heart, is your life, I mean, we Americans, we really struggle. We live in a hyper-busy society. I mean, I know what it's like. Sometimes I have a busy day, I just fall into bed. We have got to find time to cultivate in our lives times of worship, day by day. I'll give you some phrases that I prayed over the years and God has met me. Lord, transform me into a compulsive, you know, a compulsive worshiper. Lord, deliver me from a dried-eyed Christianity. Lord, deliver me from business as usual. Lord, I pray that the things that break your heart would break my heart. Lord, I pray that the things that grieve you would grieve me. Listen to what John MacArthur says. Music and liturgy can assist or express a worshiping heart, But they cannot make a non-worshipping heart into a worshipping one. The danger is that they can give a non-worshipping heart the sense of having worshipped. So the crucial factor in worship in the church is not the form of worship, listen, but the state of the hearts of the saints. If our corporate worship isn't the expression of our individual worshiping lives, it is unacceptable. I ask you, when we walk in the back door on Sunday, what is the state of our heart? Have we been with God during the week? Or do we slink into our church and just our seats and look around and wait for somebody else to get up? Beloved, we were the leper. He cleansed us. He's the model. He goes back. Worship isn't something we do on Sunday morning. Listen to the words of David. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. As we close this morning, I would encourage you, if you are struggling, and believe me, I struggled for years with this, if you're struggling, you sense something is missing in your life. I over the years, I've prayed these prayers, and I have actually purchased books that have helped me. I am reading a book right now called The Joy of Fearing the Lord. Jerry Bridges. Bought it on Amazon used for $4. You don't have to have a lot of money to do this. This book, it's like it reached into my soul and it's pulled me inside out. It's like blinders are off of my eyes. My whole perspective about God has changed. And I find myself just breaking forth in praise to God during the day when I'm not at the Lord's Supper. This is the idea. The leper returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. Beloved, 10 lepers were cleansed. Only one turned back. It is my prayer this morning that as cleansed lepers, cleansed sinners, our lifestyle, our attitude would be of one of, listen, permanent turning back to glorify and thank the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your Son has authority over leprosy. We thank you that he is compassionate, that he touches out, reaches out and touches. Father, I pray that our attitude, that our private worship, our corporate worship would be that like the one man who turned back after he was cleansed to give thanks and praise to God. Lord, I pray that our children and grandchildren will look back and say, wow, what a worshiping generation. They love the Lord. I pray this for us, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.